Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
And away we go. Hour number three of our radio program. If you're just tuning in to the Zach Gelb Show on a new affiliate, we welcome you in. 855-212-4CBS as always. If you give me your Monday morning football edition. Monday morning. What am I talking about? Even if it is on the West Coast, we're not even in the morning anymore. Maybe I go like Monday morning quarterback, and I guess you could still use that even though it's in the evening, early afternoon, depending on where you're listening. So you know what? Maybe I should just restart that. Like, all right, welcome back in. It's hour number three of the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. If you got a football reaction, a football take, give me a call, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. And also tweet me at Zach Gelb. As always, we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. We need an expert to help navigate the home loan process. Rocket can. You know what that was, Ryan Tracicki, that blunder that I just had on the air? Now, I'm still more competent than the Atlanta Falcons or the New York Jets or the New York Giants, some of these, the Detroit Lions. I'm more confident, competent even with some of those blunders I had. It's the time of the show on this new food regimen that I'm on where I have my lunch for what is usually lunch for most people. I eat my dinner for lunch. I have a big lunch. And then my dinner I actually have as if it's a lunch, which if that makes sense, so a smaller portion at night. When I was working at home, I would have a big dinner during the show, and it is what it is. Now, when I got on the air at 8 o'clock tonight and here on the East Coast, I started to think to myself, right before I turned that microphone, man, I'm hungry. And I can't wait for my ice water, blueberry, spinach, strawberry, peanut butter, chocolate smoothie. That's what I'm craving right now. See, Trace is looking at me saying, you're about to talk football. You're about to talk AD's game-winning shot from last night. Most people in your listening audience probably eating some chicken wings tonight, probably eating some sausage or some pigs in the blanket, something like that. I didn't think you were expecting probably me to utter the words of, let's get a little health kick in here. I ate like a pig yesterday, though.
Spinach, chocolate, and strawberries, you said, were in that shake?
Blueberries, too.
Blueberry. That's a hell of a combination.
Very good. See, you hide the spinach in there. Because I don't like spinach, unless if you're at like a steakhouse and you get creamy spinach, but then that's not healthy. I don't like the pure, just regular spinach, so I try to hide it in and I get a nice, healthy, and big-time serving of spinach in my smoothie each and every day. Because, about 5 days out of the week I'll have that. Yesterday, though, was a bad day. Bad cheat day. Now, I got a nice workout in the morning. I got the chips, though. I got the salsa. I made myself some steak, some sausage, and some eggs. So, like, not the end of the world. Here was the big pig order, though. I was in the supermarket, and I've done something I've not done in a long time. I saw cookies. I made cookies. So you get the little prepackaged cookie dough balls. They give you 12. So I made 6 cookies, and then throughout the course of a football Sunday, I ate about 4 pieces of cookie dough as well. So that means I have
that two, sounds pretty good.
That means I have 2 pieces of cookie dough in the fridge. So I'll have the healthy smoothie tonight and probably wash it down with the other 2 cookie dough balls. So that's where I'm at. Hope everyone had a good football Sunday. If your team won, you're in a good mood. Even if your team lost, like myself, my Patriots, I'm in a good mood for the performance that they showed last night. And then if your team lost, you're probably in a bad mood. I'm probably the only team that lost yesterday, other than the Chargers. I'd say the Charger fan probably in a good mood with what Justin Herbert said. Other than that, if you're a Falcons fan today, you're miserable. If you're a Giants fan, you lose Saquon Barkley, you're miserable. If you're a Panthers fan, you lose Christian McCaffrey, you're miserable. If you're a Broncos fan, you lost Cortland Sutton, and now Drew Lock's going to be out for a few weeks, so you're miserable. There's a lot of miserable football fans out there today. And then there's also a lot of happy football fans, too. Cardinals fans all pumped up, Rams fans all pumped up, and Bills fans all pumped up as well. So we'll continue to cover it all. We got a big-time no-huddle offense today coming up at the top of the hour. We will hit on every game from yesterday, and we'll give you a little interesting tidbit or some audio from that game from yesterday. Without further ado, though, as it's not Monday morning. Now, we have corrected this, correct? Right? It's Monday afternoon, evening, depending on where you're going. There's a lot of Monday morning, afternoon, evening quarterbacking going on. So, Ryan Trace Hickey, he actually used his brain. He put together five good questions. It's a segment that we do each and every Monday and Friday. It's called Onsides, Offsides. Let's get to those questions right now. Hit it!
Zach's taking on the most polarizing issues in sports. Which side of the line of scrimmage will he end up on?
Offside. Defense number 69.
It's Onsides, Offsides with Zach Gelb on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, Ryan, what do you got for me today, brother?
All right, Zach, so as you hit on earlier today, the NFC West has been the best division in football so far. The Cardinals, 49ers, Rams, and Seahawks have combined to go 7-1, with that lone loss coming in the division when the Cardinals beat the 49ers back in Week 1. Now, with the added playoff team to each conference, it's possible.
See,
for
you know
the
what
first
I realized in
ever,
this segment?
What is that?
You're having a little Monday scaries, and I'm having some Monday scaries. Where Monday, you expect us to all be fired up after a big weekend in this business. I think both of us, we're taking some time to get back in it. See, here's what I'll equate us to. We're like the Philadelphia 76ers when there's some load management where we got to just rest ourselves, but then you come back and you got to shake off some of the rust after the load management. By Tuesday, we're going to be money. Wednesday will be great. Thursday will be sensational. Friday will be the best radio show in the country. On a Monday, though, there are some miscues. Our miscues, though, aren't massive once again. We're not like some of these teams in the National Football League that you basically forget the rules or you forget to show up in big moments. We just have small little blunders. The Zach Gelb Show, where we make small errors, not major errors. And that's how you survive in this business.
Yes. I mean, if I could read, I mean, reading, I would say would be surviving.
You know what's
business,
funny?
So I'll try here.
I sit here behind the microphone. No problem. Say what's on my mind. No script in front of me. You give me something to read, like the update people. I don't know how they do it because they're all reading off scripts. You give me something to read, like when I do the CBS Sports Minutes, never get it right in the first try. It's just something about you giving me something, you're making me read it. Probably puts me back to when I was in the 7th or 8th grade and you do that popcorn reading in class and you don't pay attention. Someone goes, popcorn, Zach, go ahead. What page are we on? Oh, there's a big word. Ooh, I don't feel good reading that big word. And then you end up basically peeing down your leg and just embarrassment and fear and all that. Even though I'm a public speaker now, I hated reading in front of the class as a kid. Could not stand it. Let me do a speech, which is weird because you're reading off a speech. Fine. You know, if I'm running for student council or something like that, I can get up in front of the class. Fine money. You make me read out of a book, like some piece of literature, famous, not famous, was a disaster. Absolute disaster. Anyway,
it's tough to read in someone else's voice, you know? If you write something like a speech,
true.
You're writing it in the way you would say it. Reading out of a book is...
When you get some fine Shakespeare. Yeah.
Good luck, you know? No one would ever talk like Shakespeare. It's tough to even read like him.
That's a good point. That is a fantastic point by Ryan Trasecki. All right, let's get back to the sports. As they used to say, we'll get him, any way that you can. It's Mike Francesa on the fan. Da-da-da-da-da-da. Go ahead.
All right, so with the added playoff team to each conference, it's possible for the first time ever all four teams in one division can make the playoffs. So onsides or offsides, all four NFC West teams will make the playoffs.
So division winner is one, and then you need all three of the wild card spots, 5, 6, and 7 with the extra playoff spot this year to be coming from the NFC West. And they play each other, so that means they're going to beat up on one another. You could get three teams. I don't think you're getting all four because whoever loses out in that NFC South, Saints, or if it's the Bucks, one of those teams will get into the playoff conversation. And they'll get in the playoffs picture. NFC East, probably one playoff team. NFC North, with after the Vikings and the start they got off to, and I'm not believing in the Bears at 2-0, probably one playoff team. So you could have three teams get in total. Three teams total from the NFC West. To get all four in, I don't think it's going to happen because the Saints or Bucks will get in. So all four NFC West teams will make the playoffs. You could get three. You're not going to get four. You'll definitely get two. So I go offsides.
Offside.
Next.
So it's another week, Jack, in which the Green Bay Packers offense continued to roll. After scoring 43 points in their opening win over the Vikings, Green Bay dropped a 42 spot on the Lions on Sunday. The Packers are the highest scoring team in the league through the first two games so far this year, after struggling to find their groove on offense back in 2019. So onsides or offsides, the Packers are the biggest surprise in the NFL so far.
Nice surprise. If you would have told me that they would have been 2-0, though, I don't think you'd be surprised by that, because they played the Vikings or the Lions. It's just the way that the offense looks right now, which, with all the distractions they had, I don't think many thought it would be this crisp this early in the season. They're not the biggest surprise, though, in the NFL. Cam Newton is the best feel-good story in the NFL. I guess it's surprising with what's happened the last 2 years how good he has played. If you want to go to other surprises, it's not surprising to me that the Steelers are 2-0. Now we're looking, is this good surprises or bad surprises?
Either way, just the biggest overall surprise. One team doing really bad you thought was going to be good. One team doing really good you thought was going to be bad. Overall, biggest surprise.
Rams being 2-0 is a surprise to me. Cardinals being 2-0 is a surprise to me. The Bears, even though I don't believe in them, being 2-0 is a major surprise to me. And then you get to the teams that are 0-2. Vikings being 0-2 is surprising. It's surprising to me. Eagles being 0-2 when you played Washington week one and you were up 17 points, that is surprising. So the Packers are a good story. It's a feel-good story because of the way that Rodgers handled this, and he's done it with a lot of class, and people thought he wasn't going to. To say, though, that they are the biggest surprise so far in the NFL, when you have the Rams at 2-0, the Bears 2-0, and also the Cardinals 2-0, yeah, I'm not going to say it's the Packers, so offsides.
Offside.
Number three, what do you got, Trace? Number three for Ryan Trace Hickey. Read it, number three. What do you got for
Trace
us?
Reading Trace.
Trace, part three.
So unfortunately, Zach, the biggest storyline coming out of the Week 2 NFL Sunday were all the injuries that were sustained by star players. Saquon Barkley, Nick Bosa, and Cortland Sutton all will miss the remainder of the season after respectively tearing their ACLs. Other players like Drew Lock, Christian McCaffrey, Paris Campbell, and Tyrod Taylor will all miss significant time as well. So onsides or offsides, the Nick Bosa torn ACL injury was the most impactful injury sustained on Sunday.
So here's the names that you gave me. Saquon Barkley kills that offense, but that team was not going to be good this year. Cortland Sutton. You also get Drew Lock that are hurt. The Broncos were intriguing. It wasn't a guarantee, though. And they lost Von Miller. McCaffrey, once again, so impactful for Carolina, but Carolina's a bad football team. And Tyrod Taylor, yeah, that was significant, but not the way that you would have thought it was, because Justin Herbert showed up and he balled out. So the Nick Bosa injury was the most impactful injury from Sunday? Yes, and here's why. Because not only is he a great player, but he plays on a team that is expected to be great. And we've already seen this team encounter so many injuries where now Jimmy G got hurt, Raheem Mostert got hurt, both expected to return, and now you see Nick Bosa go down and he's not coming back, and we all know how important he is to that defensive line. 49ers just don't have good luck this year. Yeah, Nick Bosa going down, a guy that could be in the conversation, we're supposed to be in the conversation for defensive player of the year. Him going down is the most impactful out of all these injuries, because you parlay it with great player and also being on a team that's expected to be great, where a lot of these other injuries, a lot of these teams are either an unknown or expected to be bad. So I go onsides.
All right, so speaking of Tyrod Taylor, we'll stick with the Chargers, as their head coach Anthony Lynn squashed any quarterback controversy rumors by first declaring this postgame presser, and then again earlier today, that if healthy, Tyrod Taylor is still his starting quarterback.
Don't believe him. All right, I'm not even going to let you finish the question. You know what, let me be polite here. Go ahead, finish the question.
We could stop right there. But back in week one, the veteran signal caller threw for 208 yards and scored just 16 points in their win over the Bengals. Now yesterday, Justin Herbert stepped in, threw for 311 yards, totaled two touchdowns, and put the Chargers in a real position to defeat the Chiefs. So onsides or offsides, Justin Herbert should be the starting quarterback for the rest of the season.
I kind of want to text Anthony Lynn. He came on the show during the beginning of the pandemic, or a few months into the pandemic. And ever since then, we've exchanged some texts here or there. I kind of want to send him a text. I know you're probably trying to mislead a lot of people for next week and get this gamesmanship advantage. Don't start Tyrod Taylor. And this is nothing against Tyrod Taylor, but we know what he is as a quarterback. Your future is a 6th overall pick in Justin Herbert. And look what he's been able to do in one game. He almost took down Kansas City. Now, I'm not going to be naive here and say after one game that he's definitely the answer. If you're someone in that locker room, though, how do you respond if Tyrod Taylor's the answer and then he doesn't play well? You keep on hearing the Browns even. Oh, yeah, we love Tyrod Taylor. He's going to be the guy. Baker Mayfield's not. Tyrod Taylor got hurt. Baker Mayfield came in. They actually won a game. And look, Baker didn't turn out to be this great quarterback. He still got to prove it. Justin Herbert. He almost took down Kansas City. Team won the Super Bowl last year. He's up 17-9 at one point. You can't go back to Tyrod Taylor unless if Herbert gets hurt. Let's ride out the rookie season. And it's wild. Tyrod Taylor, everywhere he goes, Bills, playoffs, gets replaced by Allen. Browns, barely played, gets replaced by Baker Mayfield. And now the Chargers, it should be it. It should be over. So you ask me, Justin Herbert should be the starting quarterback for the rest of the season? Guy found out right before kickoff that he was going to start. And he throws 300 yards, a touchdown, a pick. The one pick, rookie mistake, run the football there. You didn't have to force the throw. And even though I like Anthony Lynn, in the fourth quarter, or in overtime, it's 4th and 1. You're on your own 34. All Kansas City needs is a field goal. You can't give them back the football. You should have gone for it there. Even though you like your defense, Mahomes, you can put whatever numbers you want in front of him. He finds a way to get the job done. That was actually in Mahomes' last two seasons, or since he's been the starting quarterback in Kansas City. Anytime he's down, I think I saw this by double digits, he's 6-0. Think about that. Think about that. It was one of those games. Down double digits, 6-0. Now, was he not down? Hold on. I don't know how true that stat is now that I'm thinking about it. You saw that stat all over the place today, right, Trace?
No, this is the first I'm hearing about it. That's crazy.
Let me make sure I read this right. Over the last two seasons, the Chiefs are 6-0 when they fall behind 10 or more points at Mahomes at QB. That was from Kay Adams. Now, the only thing I'm going to question here, when they say the last two seasons, was that last year and this year? Is that probably what they mean? Because I was going to say they were definitely down 10 points to the Pats in the year the Pats won the Super Bowl, Super Bowl 53. So this has got to be last year and then this year. That's what I would imagine. So over the last two seasons, the Chiefs are 6-0 when they fall behind 10 or more points with Mahomes at QB. That's from Kay Adams. So, yeah, you ask me, long-winded answer here. I'm going to wrap it up, keep it simple, stupid. And I try to get cute with all these stats, and then I question the stats. Get a little paranoid here on a Monday. Justin Herbert should be the starting quarterback for the rest of the season. Onsides. Let's keep it simple here, Anthony Lynn. Let's not be stupid.
All right, we'll finish up with this, Zach. We'll keep it simple. Three teams that had playoff expectations heading into this season now have their work cut out for them if they want to be playing meaningful football in January. The Texans, Eagles, and Vikings are all up to 0-2 starts, and history has shown of the 321 teams that have started off 0-2, just 11% have made the playoffs. So onsides or offsides, the Texans will still make the playoffs this year.
One team's going to get into the playoffs from that division. And even though I picked them to win that division this year in Houston, it's not going to be Houston. They got some significant problems, and shame on me for picking Houston to win that division, because all offseason long, I've been lambasting Bill O'Brien for the dumb move that he made, trading DeAndre Hopkins and not even getting a first-round pick back from him. So I'm all out on Houston, even though I knew they were going to have a tough four games, and I had the over bet of 7.5 on them this year. I knew that was low for some reason. I knew that was low. Not feeling good about it right now. After the first four games, the schedule does ease up. But out of all the 0-2 teams, the Texans will still make the – they're the team that I'm picking to – oh, no, just will they make the playoffs?
Will they make the playoffs?
Offsides, you made this question easy. I thought you were going to ask me, out of all the 0-2 teams, who is going to be that team that you most trust? And I would have said the Eagles like I did earlier. So, yeah, the Texans will not make the playoffs this year.
Offsides.
All right, that's onsides, offsides. Monday version of onsides, offsides. Friday will be a whole lot cleaner. I guarantee that on Friday. We'll take a break. When we come on back, we talk about 0-2 teams. Now it's time to talk about 2-0 teams. And we'll give you all the reactions that you need to know about all the teams in the National Football League after 2 weeks that are 2-0.
Now back to the Zach Gelb Show.
Coming up on Sunday, the NFL and CBS feature some fantastic matchups featuring the league's top contenders, including the Raiders on the road against the Pats and Deshaun Watson and the Texans taking on the Steelers. It all gets started with JB and the guys getting you ready for the day on Sunday at noon Eastern, 9 Pacific on CBS. Saints playing the Raiders right now. First ever game in the stadium out there in Las Vegas. I see a lot of people on the Raiders tonight, plus 4.5. I took the Saints minus 4.5 in this game. I just like New Orleans. I don't know Michael Thomas. I know no Marcus Davenport. I got the Saints at minus 4. Some got it at minus 4.5, or they plus the points. I just think the Saints find a way to get the job done tonight and win by probably a touchdown or maybe even 10 points. You know, I get that people are saying, oh, they're opening up a new stadium. Jacobs, he was great week one. I'm taking nothing away from him. The Raiders have a good offensive line. I just don't trust Derek Carr. I don't trust Derek Carr week in and week out. Now, he played well last week. This week, we're going up against the Saints defense, which I think is underrated. The whole, we're opening up a new stadium, so you're definitely going to win, that means nothing to me. And if you had fans there with the crazy Raider fans, different story. Completely different story. You got no fans in there. So I'm going to think just because the Raiders open up a new stadium, they're going to get the job done. So if you want to talk about it from a football standpoint, the reason why you wouldn't pick the Saints is maybe you're concerned about Michael Thomas. Even without Michael Thomas, though, I look at the Saints defense and I look at their offense. They still got Alvin Kamara. I know Drew Brees wasn't great in week one. They still got the victory up against the Bucs. Emmanuel Sanders was a good free agency signing. And you look at the tight end Cook, too. I think the Saints have more than enough to take care of the Raiders tonight. And for the Raiders, you lose Trent Brown. I know that you signed him and he didn't play a bunch last year. He's not playing, he's not going to play early on this year because of the injury that he suffered in week one and was barely there for, you know, actually participating in the condensed training camp. I don't see what a lot of other people are seeing with the Raiders. And I like some of the names on that team. You know, I like Waller. I like Jacobs. I like Ruggs. I like Max Crosby. The Saints, though, are just in a different class compared to the Raiders. Now, if the Raiders give a good effort here, and maybe they win the game, I don't think they will. But if the Raiders can find a way to just have this game be close at the end, then that's a big moment for Derek Carr, it is. And you see the Raiders' next two games after this. You got the Pats and the Bills. You got to find a way to split one of those two games. And the Pats, better now with Cam. And the Bills off to a 2-0 start. And Josh Allen looked really well yesterday. So we'll see if the Raiders can make this a game. I saw that was a very trendy pick, though, where the line kept on shrinking and shrinking and shrinking. And it tells me that there's a lot of money on the Raiders tonight. I just don't love it. I think the Saints are a much better team. And, yeah, I'll take the Saints by 7-10 points tonight. All right, let's get to all the 2-0 teams. One of these teams will be 2-0. That's another reason why I don't like the Raiders, too, is that they almost lost last week to the Panthers. And the Panthers are not a good football team. So, one of these teams will be 2-0. I think it's going to be the Saints. When we get to all the other 2-0 teams around the league, let's take a quick glance, a quick pulse check on all the 2-0 teams. Bills 2-0. That's a two-team race in the AFC East. I personally think the Bills are a better team than the Patriots. It's going to come down to what Josh Allen does in big-time games. You know, give him credit for beating the Jets. Give him credit for taking care of the Dolphins. When you're a good football team, you beat up on bad football teams. And that's what you did through the first 2 weeks of the season. Coming up for the Bills, you got some good games. Rams, then you're at the Raiders, you got Tennessee, and you got the Chiefs. So there are some tests on your schedule the next few weeks, and I'll be curious to see where the Bills are 4 weeks from now. But I like Buffalo. I like McDermott a lot. They have good wide receivers. Gabe Davis, who joined us from UCF, he got drafted by them in probably like the fourth or fifth round, whatever it was. He had a nice touchdown. Nice diving touchdown for his first career, I think it was his first career reception, his first career touchdown, probably his first career touchdown. So it was a nice performance by Gabe Davis. Cole Beasley's still there. John Brown is still there. And then you added in Stephon Diggs. So you got some pieces on that offensive side of the ball. Chiefs 2-0. Like, come on. Is anyone surprised by that? I was surprised that was a game yesterday. Justin Herbert did well, did a nice job for the Chargers coming in out of nowhere because of the Tyrod Taylor injury. Chiefs 2-0, though, not surprising after 2 weeks, and they get the big game up against another 2-0 team in Baltimore a week from today against the Baltimore Ravens. Once again, the Ravens being 2-0 should surprise absolutely nobody. Other 2-0 teams, nice job by the Steelers. I don't even think the Steelers have played a great game yet. They beat the Giants in week one. Yesterday, they took care of the Jeff Driscoll-led Denver Broncos. The Steelers' defense is damn good. The Steelers' defense showed you they were a damn good defense last year. Now it's about the offense getting caught up to speed. James Conner's got to be consistent. Juju Smith-Schuster's got to be consistent. And you feel a whole lot better with Ben back, obviously, compared to quack, quack, Mr. Duck Hodges or Mason Rudolph. So I like the Steelers. I think the Steelers are the third best team in the AFC, honestly. Titans, 2-0. They haven't played great games. Should have lost to the Broncos, but didn't. Yesterday, Gardner Minshew mania was in full force. And Tennessee, led by Ryan Tannehill, he had 4 touchdown passes. Tennessee's a tough team. They're not a team that you look at and you say, great. The last 2 years, though, Vrabel's done a really good job with this team. And you saw him get to the AFC Championship game a year ago. Cardinals, 2-0. That's surprising. Now, some picked the Cardinals to go to the playoffs this year. I've been impressed with the Cardinals. They beat up on a bad team in Washington, as they should. And then the week prior, they beat the San Francisco 49ers. That team is so fun, and they're so electric offensively. When you got Kyler Murray, who's an absolute stud, throwing to Larry Fitz, DeAndre Hopkins, and Christian Kirk. That's a damn good offense. And honestly, through the first 2 weeks, are the team that I've enjoyed watching the most. And the next few weeks, you get the Lions at the Panthers at the Jets. This Cardinals team should be 5-0, or at a bare minimum, they'll be 4-1. Tremendous start for the Cardinals. And another tremendous start for the Rams. The Rams have been just as impressive all offseason long. Goff doesn't have it. McVay, boy wonder, peaked too early. Defense, you don't got Wade Phillips anymore. You're paying guys too much money. How are you going to manage the salary cap? Rams go on out. And they dominate the NFC East to start out the season. Survived against the Cowboys. Beat up. Absolutely delivered a can of whoop-ass on the Philadelphia Eagles yesterday. Good for the Rams. And McVay sent an early message that this team is better than what people thought. They weren't terrible last year. They went 9-7, but that was disappointing going 9-7. There was a 7th playoff seed last year. They would have got in. Rams-Bills this weekend. Ooh. I haven't looked at the entire schedule yet. For next week, Rams-Bills, though, that's a game that you never thought would be a great game that early on in the season, and it is. Next week, does anything beat besides the matchup between the Chiefs and the Ravens? Does anything beat Bills and Rams next week? Dolphins-Jags, no. 49ers-Giants, no. Washington-Browns, no. Bengals-Eagles, no. Raiders-Patriots, no. Bears, Falcons, no. Texans, Steelers, I'd rather see Rams, Bills. Titans, Vikings, could be a good game. Minnesota, 0-2, I'd rather see Rams, Bills. Panthers, Chargers, no. Jets, Colts, no. Ooh, Cowboys, Seahawks. You'd rather see Cowboys, Seahawks, Trace, or would you rather see Bills and Rams? I would probably say Dak and Russell Wilson, that's the matchup.
There's a lot of sex appeal there. I'd go that one, too. Cowboys, Seahawks.
What are you, a TV executive? Here's what you know. In your words, the sex appeal. That's a 4:25 game, Cowboys and Seahawks. Rams-Bills, the 1 o'clock game. So you're right. There is a lot of sex appeal there. Lions-Cardinals, no. Bucks-Broncos, no. Ooh, here's a good one. Sunday night. You got 4 great games next week. Packers-Saints. Rodgers-Breeze. Fantastic game. The 4 best games next week on paper. Chiefs-Ravens. Packers, Saints, Cowboys, Seahawks, Bills, Rams. Those are the 4. That's for week 3 to have those 4 games, those 4 be potentially great games. It's a good start. Good start to the football season. Very good start. So wrapping up through these 2-0 teams where we last talked about the Rams. Seahawks 2-0. Nothing surprising whatsoever. Dominant against the Falcons. And then last night, I did not expect that game to be that close. And it shows you that New England has something with Cam. And even though Cam was out the last 2 years, he has been that offense. And this Patriot team, as long as he stays healthy, they'll be a playoff team. Seahawks, though, they're my Super Bowl pick before the year. Russ was my not only my MVP pick, but also my Super Bowl MVP pick. This team is really good. They are really good. And Russell Wilson, 11 incompletions this year, 9 touchdowns. Packers 2-0, fun to see. Look at the Packers schedule the next 3 weeks. At the Saints, up against the choke artists that are the Atlanta Falcons, and then you're at the Bucks. So the next 3 weeks, we get to see Rodgers, Breeze, Rodgers, Ryan, and Matt Ryan played well yesterday. His team just can't recover an onside kick or protect the lead. And then you get to see Rodgers, Brady. Not bad. And those are three tough games for the Packers, who got off to a very good start, taking down the Vikings, and then also, after going down early to the Lions, coming back and getting a W. And here's a shocker. And I don't believe in them. I think I said that 300 times already through the show. I don't believe in them. I like their defense. Offensively, I have zero reason to trust them. The Chicago Bears being 2-0 is something I didn't see. Now, it's not something that is, oh my goodness gracious, they had a great win. Yeah, they scored 3 touchdowns in the 4th against Matt Patricia's Lions. It's good to see Trubisky do that. The Lions stink, and Patricia should be fired. And yesterday, they beat up on a Giants team that lost Saquon Barkley and let them back in the game in the second half. So I'm not all bought in on Mitch Trubisky and the Bears. And if I'm a Bears fan, these are the three things I'm saying. And Trace, you tell me if I'm wrong for saying this. If I'm a Bears fan, whenever I watch Trubisky, no matter what he does for the rest of his career, here are three things that I'm going to think of. One, how this team didn't draft Deshaun Watson, because that was the obvious quarterback at the time. That's the obvious statement. The other one, Patrick Mahomes. That's a second guess statement. Here's the third thought. If Cam continues to do what he's doing in New England right now, you're going to tell me that you put all your eggs in one basket with Nick Foles and Trubisky compared to it being Mitch Trubisky and Cam Newton. And you know why they didn't sign Cam? Because they were afraid that Cam would beat out Mitch. They knew Nick Foles was not going to beat out Mitch. And they know that Nick Foles isn't a starting quarterback over 16 games, even though he's a Pro Bowl MVP and a Super Bowl MVP. He's never started 16 regular season games. They wanted to give Mitch one last desperation effort to redeem himself. And so far, they're 2-0. I don't expect, though, Trubisky to continue to win games for the Chicago Bears. And there's going to be a point where people are going to talk about pulling Trubisky, and Foles is your option when you had to give up a draft pick for him and pay him. Even though they restructured that deal, where Cam went to New England for what? $1.5-2 million? Yikes. So those are the 2-0 teams in the National Football League. The most impressive team so far that we didn't expect to be good. Rams and the Cardinals at 2-0. And the Packers, not terribly surprised, but it's a feel-good story, especially with the way that Rodgers was treated this past offseason. It's the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Tom Brady in Tampa Bay. He got his first victory with the Bucks. We'll talk about it next.
Now back to the Zach Gelb Show.
The Zach Gelb Show is on the air on CBS Sports Radio for the third time.
I told you it's a Monday. We'll be a more well-oiled machine tomorrow. Doing More is sponsored by the Home Depot. Download the Home Depot mobile app today to get started on DIW projects and locate all your bath, carpet, and appliance solutions in one place. The Home Depot, how doers get more done. And the Home Depot player of the day is Chiefs kicker Harrison Butker. This was wild. He went a perfect 3-for-3 on Sunday in the Chiefs' 23-20 victory over the Chargers. So here's what happened. Early in the game, I think it was the second quarter, Butker hits a 58-yard field goal. Then at the end of the game, he hits a 30-something-yard field goal to tie the game and send to overtime, the end of regulation. In overtime, Anthony Lynn on 4th-and-1 on his own 34 elects to punt it back to Patrick Mahomes. So Mahomes gets the ball back. The Chiefs in somewhat of a field goal range, 53-yard field goal. Butker drills it. It's good. Offsides penalty. 53 turns into 58. Butker hits the 58-yard field goal. Anthony Lynn, though, iced the kicker. Third time, can't call another timeout. No one jumps off sides, hits the 58-yard field goal. So this dude hit a 30-something-yard field goal, a 58-yard field goal, then hit a 53-yard field goal that didn't count, hit a 58-yard field goal that didn't count, and then nailed the game winner, 58. What a day for Harrison Butker. How about those Chiefs? Saints up 9-0. Now, they lined up for an extra point. They made it. There was a penalty. They go for 2. They get the 2. Then it's an illegal formation, I think, was the call. So after those two plays, they just kicked a PAT. Saints up 10-0. And this spread went down to Saints minus four, Saints minus 4.5. I think it opened up like almost at 6, 6.5, somewhere along those lines. Michael Thomas and Marcus Davenport not playing in the game. And I really shouldn't bring this guy up. Remember our innocuous conversation about food, Ryan Trace Hickey, to open up the 8 p.m. hour as I was telling everyone how I ate like a fat pig yesterday and also how I'm looking forward to my healthy protein shake? Remember that conversation?
Yes. Yes, I do.
You would say a very quick conversation, maybe at most 5 minutes, right? Maybe at most 5 minutes?
At most.
I'm probably even being benevolent saying it was 5 minutes.
Because we had big onsides, offsides.
That's right. So I got a tweet from a Raiders fan. And this is how you know it's game day for the Raiders. Literally, Zach Gelb, you just sat there and talked about food for 10 minutes instead of sports. And then he told me to go bleep myself. A four-letter word that I can't say on the radio. I hope that fan is still listening right now. And I hope he's enjoying the Saints of 10-0 against the Raiders. And I hope the Saints tonight devour the Raiders like Zach Gelb devours a lasagna on Thanksgiving. And how Ryan Trace Hickey devours a turkey on Thanksgiving. Or I devoured those 8 or 9 or 10 pieces of cookie dough yesterday while I watched all my football. I like a lot of players on the Raiders. We've had Trent Brown on the show before. We've had Eric Harris on the show before. Lincoln Kennedy joined us, longtime Raiders offensive lineman, now the team color analyst. Mike Mayock has been on before. That comment from that fan, after I'm just talking about some food that everyone loves. Who doesn't like food? Who doesn't like a little steak? Who doesn't like steak and eggs and steak and sausage and a protein shake and chips and salsa and cookie dough? Who doesn't like that? And because getting a little nervous about your football team, how they're not going to show up when they open up their stadium in front of no one, you got to tell me to go bleep myself? I'll never get some people. I never will.
Was it our guy Jay in Alaska?
No, it wasn't Jay.
Jay, I don't think
Jay
would say
loves
that.
Me. Jay will just tell me that he thinks I'm an idiot because I don't believe that Derek Carr is a franchise quarterback.
I was going to say, I was here last Monday and he called it. He was very frustrated that you said
he
the
was
Panthers
annoyed with me.
Barely lost to the Raiders.
Oh, it's true.
He was upset about it.
It was 34-31.
He disrespected in his mind.
As Derek Carr. Just completed a ball at midfield and now the Raiders are driving. Maybe I shouldn't pop the champagne yet celebrating the Saints-Raiders game. I feel good, though, on the big $15 that I laid down on this game that I have the Saints at minus 4 points tonight. So one more thing before we get back to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I want to talk about Tom Brady's first victory in Tampa Bay. I had a big fantasy football blunder. Big fantasy football blunder. I went with Rodgers yesterday over Kyler Murray. So that cost me about 8 to 10 points. I'm now down 7 points. So I would have already won the game. I need Jared Cook tonight for the Saints to give me 7 to 8 points. And Ryan Trace Hickey just gave me a look saying, I don't know if that's going to happen.
I mean, I'll say this. The Raiders defense stinks. It is brutal.
It's a bad defense.
So they're going to, the Saints offense, we get a lot of opportunities, especially by the red zone. You just need one. You need
just
one.
Just give me a touchdown. Or
that's
just give
it.
Me 3-4 catches.
Either way, so. Especially you get in a shootout because the Saints, I mean the Raiders offense is pretty good.
Now you that like will, you like the Raiders tonight to make this a game.
I do. I think
did you like
cover.
Them to win it outright?
I'm not going to go that far. I think they can cover the 4 points.
What am I not seeing? Because all throughout the day, and I love BT and BT, he's money with those picks. Sharp Tierney, great segment each and every Friday where he puts the shades on. BT's guaranteeing the Raiders plus 4.5 tonight, and I don't get it. The Saints and the Raiders, the Saints, I know they don't have Michael Thomas. The Saints are so much better than the Raiders. You thinking most people are hoping that it's a backdoor cover, that the Saints are maybe up 10 most of the game and then the Raiders get a garbage touchdown at the end? Is that what it is?
I think with the Michael Thomas injury, I think that the Raiders offense can keep up in a sense. Yes.
Okay.
Like, again, I understand 4 points is
but the Raiders defense, you said it stinks.
It does.
It's a bad defense.
Now, I'll be honest. You made fun of this, like this thought process earlier. I can't lie. Part of my reasoning for picking the Raiders tonight
is the new stadium.
New stadium.
There's no fans.
fans.
But it's a new venue. You're juiced up. The new era is in Las Vegas. It's your time. You're on Monday night. This is the time. All right, let's welcome the city in.
Yeah.
New, I mean, okay. In John Gruden's mind, it's basically a brand new organization. The way he was celebrating last week, he was talking about the Las Vegas Raiders, first career win. I think that has – I give it some juice. Now, down 10-0.
Derek Carr just got sacked. It's 10-0. The Saints are getting the ball back. I guarantee you that very shortly this is going to be a 17-0 game. No Trent Brown tonight. He's hurt. Saints already have 3 sacks in the game. Up against the Raiders offensive line, that's pretty damn good. This will be 13-0 or 17-0 very quickly. Raiders better show up in their big brand new debut of the stadium, which is why we're thinking the Raiders. Some people think the Raiders win the game because they're opening up a new stadium with no fans. If there were fans in the building right now, they'd be booing. They'd be booing. Pump in the fake boos, everybody. Real quickly on the Bucs. First win for Tom Brady. Offense played better in the first half. They dropped 3 touchdowns yesterday, the Buccaneers. Brady played well. This Tampa team, I think they're just getting started. I didn't freak out after the Saints. Yesterday, you beat Carolina. What the damn do you should? Your next stretch of games, though, before you play the Saints again, you go up against the Broncos, you should win. Jeff Driscoll is going to be starting at quarterback next week. Then after that, you go up against the Chargers. Another game you should win. You play the Bears. Another game you should win. Then you got the Packers. Tough game. Then you got the Raiders. You should win. You got the Giants. Another game you should win. And then you get the Saints again. Bucks are going to be fine. Bucks are still going to be a playoff team. And they're going to get better with more time. They're going to get better. And you saw signs of it yesterday. Now the receivers just got to catch the football. So no huddle offense. Next, Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. You don't want to miss it.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.